Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. It is now 9:20. Welcome to Radio Islam. My name is Muhammad Bamin. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have is Marana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Marana, Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Marana, how are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah, Marana, alhamdulillah. And we say Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh to our esteemed listeners of Radio Islam.
Okay. Marana, we were discussing started a new topic, the Living Islam, and in our last meeting we mentioned that we're going to, after the introduction where we mentioned a few qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we mentioned that we're going to start with the interactions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with those who were closest to him first, and we mentioned that we started with the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maintained healthy, mutually fulfilling, harmonious relationships with his wives, such that his treatment to them is considered exemplary of all times. Also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend time with his wives and socialize with them daily. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit them, listen to what they had to say. Despite his responsibilities, we know that he was the last prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet despite this responsibility that he had, he would still make time to visit them and listen to what they had to say. Also, last week we mentioned about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wives would gather into one house and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come and socialize with them all. Also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit them and listen to what they had to say. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give them their due right with regards to conjugal relations. Also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's worship never held him back from spending time with his wives and being with them. And the last point we mentioned was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would brighten whenever anything reminded him of Khadija radiallahu anha. And we mentioned about Halla, that is the sister of Khadija radiallahu anha. Whenever she used to come, it would remind her of Khadija radiallahu anha. Marana, just one question that comes about, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always faithful to Khadija radiallahu anha and he would be kind to her friends. Marana, if we can just get some examples of these.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Marana, we're continuing with our discussion as we have correctly summed up with regards to the private life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We had concluded with the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed respect to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rewarded Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her radiallahu ta'ala anha, by not marrying another wife in her life. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not marry any wife along with Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, until she died. Ibn Hajar rahimahumullah, a great commentator of the ahadith, has said there is no disagreement among historians about this point. The narrations prove how high status was in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding his love and respect for Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. It also proves her virtue because of what she did. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commissioned as a Nabi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived with her more than he lived with other wives. He lived with her 25 years, whilst he lived a total of 38 years after marrying her, which makes her period 2/3 of the total life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lived with her a long period, and he never subjected her to the jealousy and grief by not marrying another wife whilst he was married with Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. This is a favor which none of his wives have enjoyed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely faithful to Khadija and would be kind to her friends. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, and I think we might have mentioned about this previously, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mention Khadija frequently. And whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered a sheep, that is after her demise, he would cut it into pieces and make sure that he sends pieces to the friends of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. In another narration we read, whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered a sheep, he would gift from it to her friends what sufficed them. Well, we had spoken previously that instead of giving long talks and our own side of issues, very briefly we might talk a little bit about the ahadith, but more importantly, this whole series that we're going to be doing is we just collated the various narrations and incidents with regards to Rasulullah's interactions with different people, and that's what we are just narrating. Whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered the sheep, he would look for the friends of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and give them. Some ulama have said that giving friends reflects his faithfulness to her, and most importantly, not forgetting her kindness after her demise. Imam Nawawi has also said that this is evidence that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a faithful man. He dealt with his wives in kindness during their lives and even after their death, and that he was extremely generous with the friends and relatives of his wives. And more specifically, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely generous and kind towards the friends and relatives of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu also narrates that whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received any gift, he would say, "Take it to so and so," meaning a female companion, because she was a friend of Khadija. "Take some to the household of so and so, because she loved Khadija." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should not be misled that this love and respect that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was indeed intense and great. However, he also showed great kindness to his wife's friends. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, "An old lady came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he, Rasulullah, was in my home. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, 'Who are you?' And she replied, 'I am Jathama al-Muzayniyah.' Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 'Rather you are Husana.' She said she was Jathama. Rasulullah said, 'No, rather you are Hassana. How are you and your people? How are you doing? How is life with you since I saw you last?' And she responded, 'We are fine, Alhamdulillah, O Messenger of Allah. May my father and mother be sacrificed for you.' After she had left, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, 'I asked, O Messenger of Allah, why were you so friendly and kind with this old lady?' He replied, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 'O Aisha, she used to visit us during the lifetime of Khadija. And being kind to old friends is a sign of one's good iman.' Subhanallah. 'O Aisha, she used to visit us during the lifetime of Khadija. And being kind to friends and old friends is a sign of one's iman.'" Now, we note here that although this woman was an old woman, yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first thing we note here, he changed her name to a nicer name. Jathama means a lazy person, one who does not want to exert any effort, while Husana indicates goodness and beauty. This was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he believed in good omens. And when people had names or places that had names that did not have good meanings, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam often changed those meanings and names into names with good meanings. And in this case, this is what Rasulullah did. In spite of her being an old lady, Rasulullah said, "No, you are not Jathama, but you are Husana," which indicates beauty and goodness. It was the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to change names that had negative meanings to one with good meanings. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Being faithful and kind to old friends is a sign of iman." So being faithful and kind to people is a sign of one's good character. It's a sign of one's good faith and iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received this elderly lady, this old lady, with kindness. He gave her a warm welcome. as a way of being faithful to the wife who stood by him and relieved him during times of distress. Again, we learn the great character and the noble habits of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now let's look at that example. This is towards a wife who had passed on, who is no more living. This is towards the family and friends of a wife who has passed on. The kindness, the respect, the honor that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed to them. Today, unfortunately, Maulana, you know, some of my family people were just having an analysis of our programs, and they said you'd speak in quite a bit about second marriages. So now let's talk a little bit about men.
Gee.
Men nowadays, sometimes, not all, and it's not right to generalize, but we do have that, become ungrateful to their wives who persevered through rough times and help them build their life and establish themselves by enduring rough times patiently. Nowadays, we find lots of us as men become ungrateful to our wives. Ungrateful to our wives who persevered through rough times, who've helped us build our life, and who've helped us establish ourselves by enduring with patience and sabr through times of difficulty. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's behavior reflects here true faithfulness to his wives. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never hesitated to state his love for his wife. Jima, now this is just a little bit that we spoke about Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha.
Mana, we mentioned that, you know, this was the story of Khadija radiallahu anha. However, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not hesitate to state his love for any of his wives. And we see that today, you know, I want to be manly, so a person doesn't show the softer side of his of him. Otherwise, it will make him look a bit too soft. How did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam show his love for all his wives?
Okay, what you say, Maulana, if we don't express our love, it's a sign of not being manly, huh? Is that what you are saying?
That's what the notion is.
Oh, okay. Naam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never hesitated to state his love for his wife. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, that her love had been nurtured in my heart by Allah Himself. Imam Nawawi has mentioned that this statement of Rasulullah, that the love of Khadija has been nurtured in my heart by Allah Himself, indicates that her love is a virtue of Khadija which Allah had granted her. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love of Rasulullah for Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, was more obvious and well known. He did not love a woman like he loved her, and she was the only one whom he married as a virgin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not hide his love for her as well. Amr ibn As, may Allah be pleased with him, asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, "Who among the people are the dearest to you?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very boldly said, "Aisha." So Amr then said, "Who among men?" Because he expected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take his name. But Rasulullah said, "Aisha." Then he asked, "Who among men?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Her father," meaning Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, contrary to the prophetic guidance, and this is, I'm taking the lead from what you had said, Maulana. Contrary to prophetic guidance, some men stay years without expressing love to the wife, while others may even consider this unbefitting and not manly. Expressing one's love to the wife is one of the strongest ways to improve marital relations. It's one of the best way of strengthening marital relations, and it is a beautiful way of maintaining a happy marital life. A wife, that's the psychology of a woman, likes her husband to make her feel loved and to express this verbally and to do so frequently. You know, one of the greatest thing longed by a wife is to be loved and to be expressed, for the man to express that he loves her. And one of the greatest quality that men desire is respect from the wife, and for the wife to show that she respects the husband. If in a home, if a husband is respected and a wife is loved, that is a recipe of a good home. And we find that the relationship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his wife was exactly like that. The wives showed respect to him, whilst he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed love and expressed love. So a wife likes her husband to make her feel loved and to express this verbally and to do that frequently. Unfortunately, some women resort to illicit relationships because they find someone whom they could talk to and who would say sweet words that she may never have heard from her husband. And we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was totally opposite. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would kiss his wife before leaving the house. I speak for myself, and we should all of us ask, how many of us did that this morning when we left our homes? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would kiss his wives before leaving the house. Urwa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah have mercy upon him, reported on the authority of his maternal aunt, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to kiss some of his wives and then leave for the congregational prayer without performing the ablution again. And I said, it is no one else but you whom he used to kiss. So she laughed. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even kissed his wives while fasting. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would kiss and embrace his wives whilst he was fasting, for he had the most control of all of you over his desires. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of the control that he had over his desires, that would not lead him to something which was prohibited in fasting, he would kiss his wives, he would hug them even whilst fasting. Now, we should also learn from here that if we have control, there's absolutely no harm in doing that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to explain how he loved his wife, he would drink after his wife, subhanallah, placing his lips exactly at the place where Aisha had placed hers. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, I would drink when I was menstruating. Then I would hand the vessel to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would put his mouth where mine had been and drink from where I had drunk. And I would eat flesh from a bone when I was menstruating, then hand it over to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would bite and put his mouth where mine had been. Another narration reads that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would put his mouth where mine had been and drink what was left after I had drank when I was menstruating. Mullah Ali Qari gives an explanation here that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed every trace of hers to show how much he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved her. This practice has a great impact on the wife when one does this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his mouth where her mouth was after she ate or drank, only to show her his love, his compassion towards her. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also use the same miswak that his wives used. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that it was one of the favors of Allah upon me that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away whilst he was in my house. On the day of my return, while he was leaning against my chest, and Allah made my saliva mix was the saliva at his death. And she goes on further to say that Abdul Rahman, her brother, entered upon her home with a miswak in his hand, and I was supporting the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against my chest. I saw Rasulullah looking at the miswak, and I knew that he loved the miswak. So I said to him, "Shall I take it for you?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nodded in agreement. So I took it, and it was hard for him to use. So I said, "Shall I soften it for you?" And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nodded his approval. And I softened the miswak for him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then took it and started using it, cleaning his teeth while he had his head on my chest. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, she says, whilst my saliva was mixed with his saliva and he met Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would also sleep, placing his head on the thigh of Aisha or of some of his other wives. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that we went with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one of his journey, and on the way my necklace was broken and fell somewhere. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with the other people, with the other sahaba, stayed there to search for it. Now this is again such a beautiful incident of how patient, loving and forbearing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his wife. Here is Rasulullah with the entire army of sahaba, entire group of army. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha loses her necklace. Rasulullah detains the entire group of sahaba and they begin looking for the necklace of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Today, if something of that happened, we would feel embarrassed. But that was not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they all stood there, stayed behind to search for her necklace. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, there was neither any water at that place, nor did people have any water with them, in other words, to make wudu. Abu Bakr, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Abu Bakr, my father became ashamed that because of you, we are all detained. He came admonishing me while the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping with his head on my thigh. Abu Bakr, my father, scolded me and uttered what Allah wanted him to utter and pushed my side with his hand. In other words, he poked her with his hand, being the father. And there was nothing to prevent me from stirring but for the fact that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying on my thigh. Although he did that, he pushed his hand on Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Aisha says that I did not stir because I did not want to disturb Rasulullah because he was sleeping with his head lying on my thigh. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha also narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sleep with his head on my thigh whilst I was even menstruating, and then get up and start reciting the Quran. This and these few narrations reflect the kind treatment, the kind consideration, and the kind and noble manners that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. And it proves that one should not be repelled from touching, sitting, eating with or being close to the wife during the menstruation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sleep with his wives using the same cover. So we spoke about Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Even the other wives, Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, says that whilst I was lying down with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam under a single woolen sheet, I suddenly realized that I have my menses. So I slipped away from under the cover and I took up the clothes which I wore in my menses. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized and said, "Have you menstruated?" I said, "Yes." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me back and I lay down with him again under the cover. Imam Nawawi commentates on this, that it is possible that she might have feared that some blood may stain him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore decided to sneak away. It is also possible that she felt disgusted by the blood and thus decided to change her clothes with clean ones. The narration proves that it is permissible to lie down with the wife while she is menstruating using the same cover, and that the saying of Allah, which means keep away from wives during menstruation, means refrain only from sexual intimacy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we spoke of Aisha, we spoke of Salama, even Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that I used to lie down, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to lie down with me whilst I was menstruating, and there would be a cloth between me and him. Now, we learn from here the beautiful practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the way he remained close with his wives, he did not stay away from their wives when they are menstruating, and remained in the same bed with them. This contradicts the practice, or rather, the practice of some people that stay away from their wives in these circumstances contradicts the practice and guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one should remember that one should not become distant from his wife whilst they are in menstruation, because this harms the woman's psychology. Menstruating harms women psychologically, because women usually become disturbed during menstruation and there is mood changes. So if the husband stays away from her and shuns her, then this would worsen her situation and bring about depression even further. And we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the great teacher that he was, lived with them as close as he was prior to menstruation. The only thing that he refrained from was the actual sexual intimacy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died with his head on Aisha's chest. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died in my house on the day of my turn whilst he was leaning against my chest. Also, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha talks about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would bath with his wives using the same container. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, I used to bath with the Messenger of Allah from one vessel between me and him. Subhanallah. And she says that we would rush to take the water, and he would rush to take the water before me, and I would try to take it before him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Aisha, leave some for me. And I would say, you leave some for me. Subhanallah, what a beautiful relationship. Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha also narrates that the Messenger of Allah and I took a bath from the same vessel whilst I had my menses. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would express his fondness by making the diminutive form of a name. This was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he used to live with his wife in such a way, such lovingly, that sometimes he never only took the whole name like Aisha, or he used to just say Aish. Aish. This was the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived with his wife. Well, I thought that you wanted to say something. Maybe I just cut you. You want to add something on to this, Maulana? We can conclude here, and we can also get some feedback from our listeners about the program.
Well, one thing that came about is we see how the way how harmonious Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived with all his wives. This was the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Someone put a comment, Assalamu alaikum, how do you kiss your wife when she's forever balloon-faced and good to others but her husband? I gave her everything for the best according to my ability, but I was always wrong, can't take it anymore. That's the message that came on WhatsApp, Ma.
Gee, that's what we said, Maana, that look, first of all, I'm no expert in marital relationships. However, I always say that the man determines the mood in the home. If we follow the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that the reasons that we are talking about this, we come into the home, greet in the way that Rasulullah is to greet. We ask, how are you? And we take the initiatives. Then, inshallah, following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mood in the home would change. However, women should also realize that their behavior does have an effect on the way that the husband expresses his love. I recall once I heard a program, Marana, that a talk was given by some person that you must come home with flowers and all of that. And the wife said that the husband never brings for me flowers. And one day, the wife phoned the sheikh and the maulana and was crying. The maulana asked, but what's wrong? Why are you crying? I said, but you know, you said he must bring flowers. He brought the flowers, but he threw the flowers at me and he said, here's your flowers. So it's also the way we do things, you know. I think in a nutshell, I would say that which the woman loves the most or desire the most in a home is to be shown love, and that which the husband desires most in a home is to be shown respect. And this is an amazing cycle. The husband will sometimes say, she doesn't love me, therefore she doesn't show respect to me, therefore I will not show love to her. And the wife would say, he doesn't love me, why should I show respect to him? And this is a cycle, a never-ending cycle. And the remedy for this is that let the one take the initiative and be the leader. And generally, we say men are the leaders. So let's express that love more and more, in spite of her sometimes being that. Inshallah, there will come a time where we will be fed back with love, inshallah.
Inshallah. One last comment. Assalamu alaikum, beautiful program, Jazakallah. We do hope that we do get some interaction of people saying what do they think of the program. Also, mashallah, we do have one who says, Assalamu alaikum, beautiful program. Jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. Inshallah, we hope to speak to Maulana next week, Wednesday.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It brings to the end of today's program. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Baam, my engineer, Brother Ziyad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.